Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 367. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I'm here, or am I?
I don't know. You've been jumping in and out. Jeff is not here. He is in Florida.
God bless him.
What?
That's right. Jeff is in Florida, Fozzie. He is.
Oh my goodness. That's my place.
World. Yeah, it is your place.
Okay.
You let him invade your homeland. What are you going to do about this?
I don't know. This is something I don't know.
But Fozzie has returned.
Hello.
And Pete's here.
Hey.
Yeah, so Jeff is off in Florida enjoying the sun. It is the dead season of games right now.
Dead.
There's like nothing new going on. But Fozzie, we hear you have a new endeavor.
You want
to tell us about that?
Yeah, so me and my friend Javi, which some people might know from the IGN days, we have kind of been stewing around this for a while. We both live in the same city, so we figure kind of start a new website, which is called CritBox. So it's going to be CRITBox.com. And so we're kind of just starting out. We're going to be doing some streaming. But in the future, we'll add some editorials. It's probably going to be like video only, essentially. And so, editorials, reviews, and among other things. So,
And you've been playing a lot of PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, it's a good game. Apo watched a little bit of it.
Yes, and, I watched your stream.
He was somewhat sold on it. It's
It looks pretty
cool.
It's
just a mess of a game. Yeah, it's great. It's just like this chaotic mess that's
We gotta squad everybody up at some point.
Yeah, it would be fun. I mean, I would totally definitely be down to do something like that. Absolutely.
How does it play on most computers, or is it?
Memory leaks like a bitch, I can tell you that much. But
it's one of those games that doesn't look all too great, but it's open world, so I mean, it is pretty probably hefty. You don't need like a GTX 1080 to play it, but I mean, here's the thing: is that most people will play on low anyways. It's just kind of one of those things with the game where you don't want as many things popping up in the world as possible so that you can see people more.
Right.
I don't consider it cheating. It's just you keep it on low and then you keep your view distance at ultra so that you can see far away, but you know, not everything is popping up. But you know, it doesn't make too much of a difference. I would love to play on Xbox. I am curious to see how it's going to play on kind of a... It feels like a PC game, so it's interesting that it's coming out on consoles, too.
Yeah, I'm interested in playing it. I don't know if I'll get it. My PC is a few years old now. I don't know if I'll pick it up there, but I'm definitely interested in seeing it on console.
Yeah, for sure. I'll definitely probably be picking up, so we should definitely try to get a squad going. You know, eventually.
Yeah, that I have a feeling that'll go south real quick.
But it always goes south in the best way.
It does. If you have fun with it, that's the best way to do it. You know?
Yeah, it seems like a very random game. Happen crazy.
Yeah, that's more or less it. It's kind of like it's like poker a little bit in a way where, I mean, there's definitely skill involved, but there's definitely luck. So, I mean, if you can drop into a town and find, like, next to nothing, or you could drop into one house that has, like, scopes and med kits and guns. So it's really, there's no, like, good way to kind of, like, guess. I mean, obviously, if you go into a city, it kind of increases the chances that you'll find stuff, but it also increases the chances that you'll find people too. So, and there's a lot of different strategies out there. For example, I'm going to definitely try one where it's like, try and find a car. And so yes. The plane itself will, that's random too, as far as, it's one island always, and the plane is a straight kind of shot, but depending, it could come from the south, it could come from the west, east, north. So you can, you know, hop out, grab a vehicle, and then go somewhere that you know no one could have parachuted out, and then try and just loot that city. And that, I feel like, is a pretty good way to kind of get a bunch of stuff in the beginning, you know, go and kind of plant yourself in the middle of the circle and just hope for the best. So, but again, I mean, nothing's guaranteed in that game. That's, and the most exciting thing is just, you know, when it comes down to like 20 or so people, the circle is just super, super small. You know, there's going to be people in like a house. If there's only like one or two houses in the circle, there's going to be people there. And then sometimes they just give you like the worst circles. Like there's nothing for protection. You're in a fucking field. So you're just like crawling around and you're just praying that no one's like sniping you.
Yep, that's that happened to me earlier today. I was was a beach, and it was a nightmare.
Exactly. So I mean, it makes it so difficult. But yeah, I've been having a lot of fun with it. Javi's new to it.
He's less skilled.
He's God bless him. But I was watching because we put the stream on YouTube. And I'm just like, there's literally one time where there's like 20 of us. And then I say, look to your right. And then he's just staring at a door for like 5 or 10 seconds while I'm going over a hill to try and engage the enemies. And then I'm like, what the hell was he thinking? Like, he should have been right behind me so that we could have taken out people. But there he is just looking at this door while I'm getting shot up. And then he runs back into the outside of the circle. And I'm like, what are you doing? And then he dies. Guys outside the plane zone. I'm like, okay,
Jesus.
No, that's uneventful. So it's a stressful game, but as long as you have a good time with it, I mean, just don't take it too seriously. But it is hard to say that, especially if you're like in second place and you know you could have done something to get that chicken dinner. But it's good. It's a good game.
Have you won?
I've won once with a squad, but yeah. So me and Javi are going to play it until we win. And we got to the top 7 one time, so I mean, you know, we'll get there, but it'll be fun. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Been playing anything else?
A little bit of Forza here and there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to I joined your guys' crew, but that's a super fun game, and it's fun. Like, my girlfriend likes playing it, where she'll just like take a buggy and then just go into the outback and just, you know, jump off all the sand dunes and everything. So it's huge. That game is massive, and there's so much to do. Like, you can't go 500 yards without running to a new event. So it's I like it. It's still probably my favorite racing game that I've played. It's not too simulated, but it's got enough like arcadey feel that's, well, not super arcadey like Burnout, but it's definitely there. So
yeah, it's a nice medium between like over the top arcade and,
yeah, for sure, and
the Forza sim that you get with Motorsport. So
right.
I should jump back into that because I haven't played that in a while.
Yeah. Yeah, you've let's see. You're still like way ahead of me as far as what you've done in the game, but it's should get back into it and we'll play.
Yeah. We got Jeff play too, like he has it. We actually both bought the Matchbox set, the DLC for that, so.
Okay. Are you liking that? I've heard good things about it.
Jeff really likes it. I have not played it yet. He talked me into getting it, and then he didn't play it again.
Okay.
So, but he said it was really good. So I bought it on his recommendation, and I haven't had a chance to play it yet. So we should definitely try that out. Get together, roll three of us or whatever.
That'd be fun.
Tony.
Yes.
You got a new strategy game.
I did. I've been waiting for it for a while. Ultimate General Civil War. This is an RTS game. It's kind of in a... The battles are actually kind of in a style similar to Total War. So basically the units are like brigades. You move around the map and you change their facing and you click on the enemy unit and you move closer and they fire at each other. It's really easy to control. It's really complex underneath. Like, you're kind of ordering your units to walk around, and it's really easy to do all of that, but the units, as they move, they get tired, they use up ammo, so you have to send your supply wagons to resupply them. The terrain matters, so units will move slower over certain things. They'll take cover behind things. So it's kind of one of those easy-to-play, difficult-to-master type games. One of the things that's cool about it, you can play through a campaign. So you start off with a division of troops, and you fight a battle, and your troops get experience. You can buy new equipment. You can recruit more troops, and you fight the next battle, and you can move on, and your army gets bigger as time goes on. And the effects of the battles, your units will get experience. They'll get better equipment. If you do well, it'll actually weaken your opponents for future battles. And if you make it all the way through the campaign, if you make it as the Confederates, you fight the Battle of Washington at the end. And if you make it with the Union, you fight the battle for Richmond, and you actually get to like capture the city in this massive, massive battle. So it's a nice game. It's easy to play. I would recommend it to anybody looking for a nice strategy game. The gameplay is really fast too. Like, you can play through like a battle in like 15, 20 minutes, like through one segment.
That is very fast, actually.
Yeah, the larger battles take longer. And the game is, like, pausable. So if, like, there's too much going on, you can just, you know, hit the pause button and figure out what you're doing and assign your units to proper facing or whatever. I guess my previous experience with Civil War RTSs was Scourge of War Gettysburg, which was really hard and really super realistic. And I think this is on the other end of the spectrum in terms of difficulty. It is realistic. It's just not hard.
Okay.
So there is not... I compared it to Total War earlier. There are battles. There's no, like, over map or, like, you know, building stuff and whatever. It's just battles and battles and more battles.
Cool.
But it's really fun. I'm enjoying it. I'm looking forward to playing a lot of it.
Sounds like a game that Jeff should play.
It's sure PC only, sadly, so Jeff is saved.
Ah, he really needs to get a PC.
He does.
Oh,
really does.
FA with PC gaming. That's nerve-wracking.
Right. That's, I don't... Maybe not. Maybe he shouldn't do that.
No.
His PC would get cursed.
Yeah. Anything
why else? Is half my screen yellow all the time?
It's like, I don't get it.
I don't understand.
What's going on? What is this mouse thing?
And I finally I played through the rest of Lego Star Wars The Force Awakens.
Oh yeah? Yeah, how'd that end up going?
It's really fun. It's really, really decent Lego game. I really like the shooting segments. Like, there are parts where you're like ducking behind, like, it's cover based shooting with Lego figures.
Legos, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Some of the cool things when you build a thing for the use of one of your other characters, the game will reference the character you're supposed to use in like a cool way. Like, the character will, like, wave at you. Or, like, the character who just built the thing will say, okay, Ray, this is for you. So you know which character you're supposed to use on it. Which I thought was a cool idea.
Yeah, instead of, like, some of the Lego games get really, like, confusing as to which of the 100 characters you're supposed to be using. And
right.
Yeah, Batman was like that a lot, because it was, like, which 8 million different Batman costumes am I supposed to, like, can activate this one particular area.
Yeah, which costume should I be using? Like, which Batman allows me to get in here? So it's nice that they've, like, you know, realized that that's a problem in some of their games. And
And they do it in such a way where it's kind of natural within the game, like the flow of the game. Like it's not like right. it's not popping up windows saying, "Use Ray."
Right. Like, stop being an idiot.
Yes.
Especially since like all like a lot of kids play those games, and I remember a nephew was over, and he was just having trouble. He could not figure out what to do in the game, and. It sometimes is hard to jump in and go, all right, this is what we need to do if you haven't been playing right then. So
right.
it just ends up, and like a Lego game should not be frustrating for a kid. So
no.
Yeah. Anything else, Tony, besides those?
Don and I have still been playing a lot of Ghost Recon Wildlands.
Yeah. Still a lot of fun. Co-op.
It's still fun co-op, and every time we stop playing, I'm like, oh, I'm going to play a little more of this to get a little farther, and I stop.
Have you been like working on that llama mystery? Alpaca mystery?
Alpaca mystery.
So I don't know if you have the DLC or not.
I don't.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to spend any more money on this game. Dear okay. God, no.
There, I guess they added some like secret like GTA-esque mystery to the open world, so that huh. started oh. in the DLC.
It sounds like they've made it a whole lot more, like, they've embraced the goofiness of it.
Yeah.
Which is good, because, like, when that game first came out, it was like, they were, oh, no, we're super serious. Like, but you're really not. Like, so that's good. It's good that they've kind of embraced the stupidity of the game, and it's fun to play with other
and
people.
And dear God, is there stupidity. So much stupidity.
From the game or just like happening when you play with people?
Don and I walked into a an army base, stole the tank, and just drove right back out again.
Great.
Yeah, he took a video clip of that. People are going to look at that and be like, what the hell did they take a clip of? This looks stupid. Just them taking a car. And I was like, yes, but look where we got it.
I'll need to go on and check Don's feed. Pete, you've been playing anything?
Nothing more than last time I was on. I'm still playing Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah.
And like Fozzie was playing a bunch of Battlegrounds. And all that jazz. I did buy the Final Fantasy XII remake, but I haven't jumped into it yet.
Yeah, I played an hour of it last week and have not played any more of it since then. It looks pretty though.
That's good.
It's a good looking remaster. So, I've been playing all the latest games. I played through Castlevania on the NES and Super Mario Brothers 2.
The latest games.
Yeah, the brand new, hot off the official NES emulator, the NES Classic. So. Wow, Castlevania is a fucking hard game.
Yeah.
Like, it requires, like, brutal precision, and which can be unfair in spots because it requires you to, like, go to the end pixel and jump to make it through some of these jumps. And if you miss and you go over, like, ladders or something, you'll just drop to your death. And Simon controls like a tank, like, but he can jump real nice, and then he just drops like a rock. It's a brutal game, and those bosses, some of them, well, two of them are just infuriating. Death, who has these like scythes that spin around at you, and to get to him, you have to go through like this crazy gauntlet. And then Dracula himself, you can only damage by hitting him in the head. And there's nothing that indicates that. So you either stumble across it and figure it out, or you end up looking it up somewhere. I honestly, like, I beat it as a kid. I honestly don't know how.
Souls before Dark Souls.
And I save scammed my way through this, like, using the classics, like, save state ability. Because if I was trying to play that with a cartridge, I would be infuriated and would have quit. Kind of the same thing with Super Mario Bros. 2. That game's not particularly hard, but it has some terrible level design. It's really, like, it's a cool game, but it has, like, the terrible level design where it's, like, it's, you need to go all the way to the end of the level, jump on a bird that takes you back across the level, and then jump over some other things to go up that, like, you wouldn't know is there unless you do this, like, odd thing that really doesn't make any sense. That's mostly in, like, the later few levels there. But, yeah, there's some infuriating things about Super Mario Bros. 2. and it's – I don't know if it's the NES Classic, like, the emulation on it, which is really just – I think the emulation – it's, like, the same emulation they've been using on, like, the Wii and the Wii U. But that game controls real squirrely, like – in like Super Mario Bros. 3, like when you jump on a vine, like Mario kind of sticks to it, and he can climb real well. Like when you do it in 2, like if you don't hit it the right way, you'll slide off and drop screens after screens. And he has a health bar in it. It's really weird.
A health bar?
Yeah, he has a health bar. You start off with 2. Just like basically like in any Mario game, like if you get hit, you shrink down. Kind of the same here, except you can pick up these vials. Like you rip up vegetables and you can use them as weapons in the game and like toss them at enemies. You also pick up vials sometimes, and when you throw the vial on the ground, it creates a door. And if you are in certain areas, when you go into the door, there will be a mushroom there, and you can pick up the mushroom, and it will give you another bar of health. And I found, like, in most levels, there's at least 2 of these, so you can end up with 4 going up against the boss. It's really weird to have, like, health bars in a Mario game. But that game is... because of the different characters and the different abilities they have, like Luigi can do his like super high jump. Toad is short and fast. And Peach is probably the best character in the game because she can float. That makes it interesting, but that's such a weird, weird game. I know it's not like a real Mario game, right? It wasn't released in Japan as that. It was, you know, we just got a sprite swap for Doki Doki Panic here, but it's a weird game. Really, really weird game. But yeah, I beat that. And then I, before we started, I was playing some Mario Brothers 3 because just been trying to use that NES Classic for whatever reason.
Trying to justify the money?
I mean, it's like, I didn't even pay for it. He bought 2 by mistake, and which I don't think it was really a mistake. He just ended up with 2 somehow, and he gave me 1. But it's been sitting there, and I do like playing some of these older games, and a lot of them still hold up pretty well. But in terms of new games, I tried out that Hey Pikmin demo on the 3DS.
Oh, okay.
It's a side-scrolling platformer with Pikmin.
What?
Yeah, like, well, it's really weird. Like, you walk through as Olimar. You can whistle for the Pikmin. They'll come down. They'll walk behind you. And every once in a while, an enemy will come up, or you need to target the Pikmin at certain things, and they'll bring stuff and build bridges for you. It doesn't seem like it's going to be super hard, but the demo only allows you to play like the first 2 levels, so maybe it'll get more difficult as you play. It's an interesting thing. I'm wondering if Jeff will play it because he loves Pikmin, and I see Javi has a Pikmin playthrough up on your site, Fozzie.
Fozzie died.
He died. Oh no.
Go, Fozzie. Fozzie, right. Come back to us.
Splatoon comes out tomorrow. Splatoon 2. Jeff and I are getting that. I know you guys don't have Switches yet, so.
Nope.
I'm a little bit concerned about that game. One of the reasons I was getting it is because it has like a horde mode. And
except
the only way to, like, you can't just go and say, I want to play, I think it's called Salmon Run.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just like pick Salmon Run like you would in Gears. Like you just go, I want to play Horde and that's it. Or Halo, I want to play Firefight. If you want to play this online with other people, like just to play, you are locked to whatever mode Nintendo has decided is being played that day or that at that time. So,
wait, what?
Yeah, so it runs through the Salmon Run. It'll run through like the team paint stuff or whatever other like objective based stuff. So, like you could come on and like a 4-hour block, it might just be Salmon Run, or you might end up with just like competitive multiplayer if you're trying to play online. You can't just pick that I want to play Salmon Run. You are locked into whatever maps and modes Nintendo has going at that time, unless you want to play locally, which would mean you would need, like, I don't think there's a way for you to play. Like Jeff and I can't just go, we're going to play Salmon Run right now.
So you can't even like link up with another, you can't party up using their ass backwards online service
app, which is now out. Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't know if that's in news, but there are some things we need to talk about that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it now.
Yeah, let's. So they released that app.
They sure did.
Splatoon releases on Friday, and alongside that, Nintendo has introduced their new online app that enables players to group up and voice chat when in matches. And if you're trying to play online without that app, evidently it's really hard.
Wait, it's hard to play without it?
Yeah.
In what way?
So this is from VentureBeat. I'll read the quote here. We've put some time into Splatoon 2, and reviewer Mike Minotti thinks the series is still fresh. I hate the terminology for this game. Now that it is migrated from the Wii U to Nintendo's newest hardware, was not so fresh as that you can't party up with your friends through the game itself. Instead, during our play sessions, I had to wait for Mike to get into a game and then join him from the friends menu. If that sounds cumbersome, it's actually worse in practice. If Mike's match was already full, I had to just wait in a loading screen for a space to open up. If no one leaves after the end of the round, I had to wait even longer. I could have gone to play in my own matches, but then my chance to join Mike would have passed by. And I'm not sure what many of the problems will have solutions in the app, but not everyone is going to have access to a phone while they're playing. And even if you do, you should still have the option to do them while in the game. So it sounds like you if you want to play with your friends, like the app is like the best way to do it.
Well, so not just that, right? But the voice stuff is even worse, where like...
It's through the phone, right?
Well, it's through the phone, but it also... The phone has to be... the app has to always be on. You can't, like, multitask. Can't run in the background. And the screen has to be unlocked. So if your screen ever decides to, like, shut off for power save mode, like it does, like, when music is running and stuff, you'll just get disconnected.
Wow, because my job requires that my phone like lock after, like I think it's a minute.
Interesting.
So I can't use this at all.
Right. This and then trying to play with us would be even harder, right? Like I honestly don't see myself using the voice. Like I'm not going to use my phone to talk to Jeff when we play games.
Well, at that point, you may as well just download the Skype or Discord app.
Right.
And set it up that way, and then just use the app to get you guys in the same game.
Right. Yeah. and then don't worry about the voice that way. But that's so stupid.
Yep.
It's so dumb. Nintendo. It's just so stupid. This whole Splatoon thing sounds like a gigantic nightmare. I can't wait to do it tomorrow.
Does it come out tomorrow?
Yeah, it comes out tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Oh, I think you said June. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it comes out Friday. I'll probably play around with it a little bit, but I won't jump in hard with it until Jeff comes home. So, but we should have something for you guys next week.
Cool. I mean, yeah, I wish Nintendo wasn't their own worst enemy when it came to, like, hamstringing their games.
Right, because, like, they get so much right about it, but then it's like, we're going to do this dumb thing on top of it, which
right.
counteracts and, so much of it.
Like, not to really bring it down, but, like, you're going to have to pay for this thing soon.
Yeah. $20 come... Yeah.
I mean, it's $20 a year, but I mean, you're still paying for the most obtuse service.
A shitty service, yeah.
To ever land in the video game industry so far. And maybe
I wouldn't necessarily want to pay for this service. Like, so it's nice that they have attached the retro games to it, because otherwise, wow.
Right, but I mean, at the same point, they're also kind of like shooting themselves in the foot with that when it comes to their like mini line. And now granted, it's not obviously all encompassing and there are still a few classic games, but like those two systems so far have included a lot, like the majority of big games that people would want to play retro anyways, you know, like unless they're going to start including N64 games and stuff, like, you know, I wonder what they can do.
Yeah. One, it's weird to me that, you know, the system's now been out for 4 months. Still no word on, like, being able to buy, like, the retro games on that system. Like, that, it was such a big piece of the Wii and the Wii U. And even the 3DS now. It's really weird that, like, that stuff's not there. Like, it seems like the perfect type of system for it. Like, that stuff works great on the 3DS, so give it to me on this more powerful system.
Right.
So strange. But, yeah, so that's it for what I've been up to playing. I don't know if there is any, like, real news.
Oh, yeah, there is.
There was, yeah. so
BioWare news.
There's that, for sure. I mean, that's probably the big one. But smaller stuff, like off the top of my head, there were patents that they filed for like a Nintendo 64 classic controller.
Yes.
That ugly beast. There was that. I'm trying to think. There's some Pokemon Go stuff, but I don't think any of us really play anymore to the point where it matters or is worth mentioning.
Tony, do you play that at all anymore with your son? Or?
Not. So in the summer we don't walk to school, so I never play it.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Right. Well, I mean, yeah, they're just starting to finally, you know, a year and a half after it matters, or I guess a year, I guess, unlock the legendary Pokemon and stuff.
I mean, I'm guessing when my son hears that, we'll be going out and playing some Pokemon Go. So.
Yeah, I think it should be. So 22nd is like their Pokemon Go festival convention thing. And then the day after that, I think it unlocks for the public.
So they're having a convention for
Pokemon in Chicago. Go. It's like some.
Oh, and Jeff's missing it.
And yeah, people there will get like first crack at unlocking.
That sounds right up Jeff's alley, too.
I'm sure he'll be all over it.
I don't know when he comes back. Because that would be great if that's... They drove, though, so there's no way he's going to be back.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was really into that last year.
He was, yeah. I mean, but like everybody, like, he sort of fell off that, like...
Yeah.
Immediately after the summer ended. and after they stopped.
Well, yeah.
Remember they made all those terrible updates where it was like, hey, now even if you're on a bike, you're considered going too fast
to play
the game. And they, like, upped the amount of time that, like, it takes to hatch eggs. And it was just like, I don't know, some people felt like they were being taken advantage of. And obviously just sort of the stream or lack thereof of content.
I mean, I'll be on vacation in 2 weeks, and I will probably – there's a lot of walking at the resort we go to,
mm-hmm.
and there's a couple like Pokestops, and I'll probably play it a little bit there, but then it'll go back to never being played again for another year.
Destiny 2 beta. I don't know did any of you guys get around to playing that?
No.
Because I don't think I haven't pre-ordered it yet, but I'll play the open beta starts tomorrow, right?
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure, so maybe I'll try that then.
This was the closed beta. If you'd pre-order the game digitally, I think you are in.
Was it PS4 only?
No, the Xbox One started today. There was the PS4 started yesterday, and that runs for 3 days or 2 or 3 days, and then the Xbox One started today.
Okay, cool. I'm trying to think if there was anything else that was big. I'm sure there is, but I'm too lazy to like scour Kotaku in search of these things.
I did just pull this off of Polygon. It's kind of like tangentially related because it involves Sonic the Hedgehog, but the Sonic the Hedgehog comic book has been canceled after it had a 24-year run.
Yeah, that was like when I was a little kid. There was still Sonic the Hedgehog.
So it's art. I guess they Archie had a deal with Sega, and I guess that's now up. So 290 issues. It was up until now, it was the longest running monthly American comic.
That's insane.
To not be relaunched.
Yeah.
So that's a. I never read it, but
you know, pour one out for good old Sonic the Hedgehog.
Right. Like he's kind of irrelevant in the realm of video games.
God, I wish so bad that if anybody's curious to what a Sonic game in this day and age should look like, go watch the SGDQ run of Sonic Generations, and it is fast paced, it is fun, it looks real good and stuff, and I'm like, man, if they could make a Sonic game that emulated that like speed and sort of like fun like combo platforming, I think people would jump on the Sonic train again, but like they've just never found a way to make it work.
Generations was a really good Sonic game. It's just they have not gone back to that well, and
yeah,
whatever. Goodbye, Sonic.
You're right. As Tony said, yeah, the big thing is that Casey Hudson, of all people, is back at BioWare, and Aaron Flynn is out the door. So take from that what you will.
I remember Casey Hudson. He was the lead on the Mass Effect series.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Up through 3.
And so he is now general manager of BioWare.
Okay, now who was Eric Flynn?
Aaron Flynn was previous general manager, and he was previously on the Dragon Age team. I think he was the Dragon Age person.
Okay.
In the way that Casey Hudson was the Mass Effect person, and then Casey, after 3 and that whole shit show with the ending and stuff, Casey Hudson left to go to Microsoft to work on HoloLens. And so I don't know if he just got tired of nothing ever happening at Microsoft, because HoloLens disappeared the first year after it was shown. But if they were just like so desperate to have him back that BioWare is paying him way more. I mean, he's obviously now in a bigger, larger leadership position, so maybe that offer wasn't enticing enough. But you got to wonder if the timing has anything to do with stuff, right? Like Aaron Flynn just suddenly decides to leave the second Casey Hudson comes back, and this is all happening right after the Andromeda debacle.
It's weird, to be sure.
Right.
Good. Maybe Mass Effect isn't dead then.
Yay.
I know he said that he's working on Anthem.
Sure.
So
like he's in charge of BioWare, right? Like
he's in charge of that part of BioWare. I'm not necessarily sure because, like, I think he's general manager of Edmonton or whatever, whichever studio is working on.
Anthem should be out next year.
Maybe.
So maybe they can then work on Mass Effect after that and get it.
I don't
going
know.
Again.
I mean, in the same way that like Deus Ex was shelved after Mankind Divided came out, like I don't see them going back to that after the poor sales and like somewhat nasty reaction the game got and stuff. Like, I mean, canceling DLC for that doesn't necessarily inspire much confidence that. If they do go back, I don't think they continue the Andromeda story. I think they start from scratch or something again.
Right, but I mean, that's like I think that they will do something with it. Like Mass Effect's still a pretty big property for them, and I could see them returning to that. Whether they continue on with Andromeda or not, you could shelve Andromeda and. It's not a big deal, like, because it's outside of the Mass Effect, of that main universe that was happening. But I think people might like a return to not the Shepard timeline because that's over, but like sometime in the future from there,
right? Like something that that dealt with the Reaper invasion instead of like brushing it off like it never happened,
right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't like Casey Hudson, so this is sort of whatever, but...
Wait, why don't you like him?
I've met him before. Like, I met him at Comic-Con once, and he was a huge dick, so I just don't necessarily think highly of him as a human being. He was, like, really rude to a bunch of people who tried to come up to him and stuff. One of them being me, as well as several other people, so I was just like, oh, okay, so this guy's just a dick. All right, cool.
Well, I mean, as a person, maybe he's a shithead, but
right.
There's a lot of people, a lot of smart people that are dickheads, and
well, sure, but one doesn't necessarily excuse the other.
Sure, no, they don't. But like, that's not to say that like good work might not come out of him being part of BioWare.
Sure, I mean, the first two games were a success, and the third was. A success after they changed the ending, and everybody finally like stopped shitting themselves over nothing. I mean, if he's on Anthem, I mean, that makes sense. That's sort of their big project now.
Yeah, that seems like them chasing after the Destiny train. But it does look cool, so we'll see how that goes.
And if it works out, I would be okay with that.
Yeah. Anything else that you guys saw?
I mean, Comic-Con is going on, like, right now.
Yeah.
So I would expect next week we have a lot more announcements because, today was the first day, and yeah, there really wasn't a whole lot of stuff. Like, Marvel had their panel, but I didn't see any announcements from that game panel, so... Like, I thought they were going to... Oh, Telltale had their thing, right? They announced three new games.
Wolf Among Us, the last
Walking Dead series, the new Batman, and, the second Wolf Among Us. But, yeah, I guess that's...
Yeah, not much going on.
Yeah, I mean, there's little itty-bitty things, but it's like, who cares? I mean, D23 happened, so, I mean, if you like Kingdom Hearts... They announced the Toy Story World, which is kind of huge, because that means that Pixar movies are sort of open for the game now, which is cool. And they announced 2018 release window, which everyone looked at and was like, "Sure, whatever you say, man."
We are all in. Oh wait,
certainly wasn't coming out this year. So
yeah.
Oh.
So yeah, I'm scrolling through here real quick, but I think we covered all of the big things.
All right. Well, there was one thing that like popped up to me over the past week that I thought I'd bring up to you guys. Have you guys been in a GameStop recently?
Yeah.
No, yeah. I try to avoid them at all cost.
Have you noticed anything weird about your GameStop, Tony?
Weird?
Yeah.
Looks like KB Toys again?
Yeah, like half of it, at least like the three that are like in my area, mm-hmm. half of them are like merchandise. Like they have...
I did notice that. There's lots of stuff that's not games.
Yeah. Like, they're definitely going through like that transition period where it seems like they may be getting ready to shelve like 360, PS3, and the last generation of Nintendo stuff. Because they've moved all in the one shop I was at, they moved all the 360 and PS3 games to like a middle display. Like, it's not on the wall anymore. Which. What they did with the PS2 and the GameCube when they were getting ready to move that stuff out, but yeah, it's like super tiny in terms of actual game space. There's like t-shirts and pop figures and stuffed animals and lots of stuff that's not necessarily like gaming related.
You want to hear something funny though? I went into Best Buy the other day and I had the same experience.
Yeah, I did too.
Like you go there now and it's like half of the stuff in there feels like it's toys and not games.
At Best Buy is even weirder because they have shrunk down. I assume it's probably the same for you. They've opened up a lot of floor space. But they've shrunk down like where their movie sections were. Their game section is way smaller now, but they have like these big display areas for like Apple and Verizon. Like, it's so weird.
Yeah, they're like a huge phone retailer now.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole thing's really weird.
Same with the GameStop too. I guess you can like go and get your phone there now, and get like a weird.
Yeah, they own a bunch of like resellers and stuff. Like, I actually sold them my old iPhone like years ago because they were the people who gave me the most money for it. I don't know if it is like that now, but
I don't know. It's but very limited in games, and like I'm beginning to think like unless like this is their move to like kind of be like the not hot topic. With their like apparel stuff, but I don't know how much longer they're
like halfway there.
Yeah, they're like mild Hot Topic, right? Like Hot Topic's a scary store.
Oh, yeah,
like terrifying, actually. Like, yeah, I thought it was really weird going in there and being like, where's the game stuff?
Yeah, it's in the corner.
Right. Like, I mean, I've been shopping at a version of that, like these stores for, I don't know what, decades now. And, I've seen this happen in terms of different consoles. Like I remember the EB Games I used to go to had like a huge PC section, like way bigger than even the console stuff. And then as console stuff got bigger and bigger, like that kept shrinking. And I don't even think they sell PC games at GameStop. Or if they do, it's like on like
it's
a
like
side
little
cabinet.
Cards. Yeah, it's little cards. Yeah.
It's nuts.
To Steam.
And there was an interesting article. I don't know if you guys caught it on Polygon about running independent game stores.
I saw it and I bookmarked it because I would really like to read it at some point.
It's a super fascinating read, but I'm like some of that was there. Like these guys were wondering like how long they were really going to be in business, and some of them were thinking like 5-10 years before like they're basically just operating online to sell like the retro stuff, like because it's not cost effective to keep a store open, and pay staff when you can like run it from your like. Part of your house and write that off on your taxes.
Right.
But I'm wondering, like, where, what is GameStop's plan in all this? like, are...
It's funny, like, you say that because I listened to the kind of funny, like, Daily Show,
mm-hmm.
and they, like, literally were just talking about this today as a part of their show, and, like, business-wise, like, whether or not they continue to, like, sell games and that continues to make them lots of money, who knows, but they're still actually turning a profit, like...
Right, right.
And stuff, and, like, because they own ThinkGeek, they own a bunch of these, like, phone resellers and stuff, and, like, they sell download codes and all of this junk and stuff that people, I guess, they buy, so, like, it's somehow still working out for them.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if, like, the GameStop as we know it is slowly dying, and it is going to be, like, this ThinkGeek store, and, like, they sell, like, you know, geek tchotchkes and...
God help us.
But you can't go, like, are we not going to be able to go there and buy, like, whatever the next system is, like, in a few years?
Well, I'm sure they will, because hardware actually does really make them a lot of money. Like, that's the only, that's the thing, right? Because you can't really go, I mean, you can go to, like, some people do get them on Amazon, but a lot of people like to make sure that they're, what they're buying is what they're buying. And
well, yeah, like, I like... And I mean, it's probably the same with a lot of people. Like, I like to go into the store, and as much as I love Amazon, something like this, which is a big money purchase,
yep.
Like, I want to take a look at it and, like, make sure that it hasn't been crushed to shit. And
I want to hold it as I take it home.
Yeah, like,
I need to swaddle,
like,
it.
Kind of like cuddle it so that it doesn't break. Like, because, I mean, like, it, yes, I will not pre-order the Xbox One X from Amazon. Like, I will go to Best Buy or somewhere to get that. I'm going to drop $500 on this thing. I don't want some FedEx guy in November just tossing it onto my step. Like,
right. I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't know. At the same time, like, I've ordered, like, 3DSs from Amazon and stuff.
Yeah, I have too, and I mean, I got my Kindle from them, and I've never had a problem. But just something about, like, spending that much money and leaving it in the hands of some disgruntled guy on during the holidays. Right. I've seen those terrifying videos of, like, a TV being thrown over a fence.
Yeah, right. Jesus, yeah.
But yeah. So, GameStop. It's a thing.
It's going places.
Yeah, do you guys have independent game stores by you? Like,
I do not. I mean, not in Gainesville, and, like, not actually anywhere. I'd probably have to go to DC.
See, I can't even think of one in DC that I'm aware of.
Ironically, the closest one might be Video Games New York. I mean, I'm sure there's one like a hole in the wall somewhere, but, like, it's always been EB Games and then GameStop or Best Buy.
Right.
And stuff. And now I just make sure I buy everything on Amazon because I can trade everything back to them for, like, 75% of what I bought it for.
And if you're buying anything new, like, and you have Prime, like, it's 20% off right off the bat. Like,
exactly.
Which, I mean, Best Buy has that, but, you have to join their gamers club for that. And Amazon will deliver me the game.
Right, and on top of that, like you get Prime, right? Like,
right, yeah.
And what is more exciting than that?
The amount of shit that I buy from Amazon, Prime is a great deal for me.
Right, well, right. And then you get, I don't know if you use the video stuff, but their video stuff is awesome.
Some of it is, yeah.
I mean, the original programming is whatever. Like, I like Man in the High Castle, but, like, they have a ton of movies on there, and stuff, and if you use Twitch, like, it's got integration with that now and stuff, and, like, they keep adding all this shit without increasing the price, which is why
they own like, Amazon owns the largest online digital retailer of comic books. So, like, they own, like, a lot of shit that, like, you, if you do stuff online, like, there's good chance you're using something that Amazon uses. So Amazon. Buy your games there, maybe.
Yeah, no.
It's a shame because sometimes like it's just easy to bundle up your crap and take it over to GameStop because it's close and you can get like shit back immediately.
Amazon does that too. So like granted, okay, it depends. If you want like real money, like, and you don't plan on spending it on Amazon again, then yeah, go to GameStop. But I mean, so I just sold back Persona, right?
Right.
It cost me $45 and they gave me $33 for it. And so
$12 to play that game, that's not bad.
Right. And they give you the credit instantly. And they just give it to you. They just credit your account with a gift card of that amount. And then you print a label and you shove it in the box it came from or some other box. And then give it to UPS.
So they've modified their trade-ins a little bit. Like you have to send it in. You have to wait for them to inspect everything. And then.
So I've only been trading in since maybe the beginning of this year. It's been like that. So it's very quick and it's very easy. And I highly recommend it over anything else except maybe Best Buy. So I know a couple of people who use Best Buys.
I use Best Buy.
And it's apparently really good. It takes only like 3 game purchases before you've already made back all of the money that you spent on the program.
Yeah, because it's $30 for 2 years.
Right. And so, I'm surprised that this and Amazon have not inspired any sense of competition in GameStop for their program, but maybe they just don't care.
I do wonder if GameStop can't compete afford with the it. Margins on. Yeah. Because, Best Buy and Amazon are taking a hit on or breaking even on game sales, at best.
Right. And I guess that's because, the money that they give you, at least in Amazon's case, will just go back to them anyways.
Right.
Because they give you credit, basically. They basically just give you store credit. But for everything, because Amazon sells so much shit.
Right. You might not be putting it back into another game. You might be putting it into, I don't know. I bought a pineapple core the other day.
Yeah, exactly. Right? I the second that, because they bought Whole Foods, man, and the second I can buy all of my groceries and stuff, I won't ever have to go anywhere I don't want to, and I can just order everything on Amazon, and it'll be amazing.
Also, pineapple core, awesome if you like pineapple.
I can fuck with some pineapple as long as it isn't on pizza.
Because, if you go to the, can't speak for your grocery stores, but here, if I go to the grocery store and I want some sliced pineapple, it costs more than buying a whole pineapple. That sharp looking object. And it comes in it's a 6 ounce container and it's $3.50. And I can get a whole pineapple for $2.50. And all you do with this core is you slice off the top and the bottom, and then you spin it down and you pull it out, and everything's already sliced and awesome.
Nice. Yeah, but I mean, pineapple can be real good. I just wish it would never go on pizza. Stay away, goddamn it.
I don't like warm pineapple. You don't cook your pineapple. But anyway,
you don't like grilled pineapple?
No.
I mean, I've never had it, that's a big thing.
Yeah, there are people that I've seen people that they'll cook it over chicken and when you're grilling, and it does add a nice flavor to the meats and other stuff. I just don't want my fruit like that. I like that super cold. I don't want it warm. Just changes the taste a bit.
And no, that's fair.
I'm very picky though. So, all right, we'll be back next week, I guess. Jeff should be back. He can tell us. We'll both have Splatoon 2, so we'll be able to tell you about that. Maybe we will download that crappy app, which I guess it seems like we're going to need to. So we could tell you how awful that is. Tony, I assume you're going to play more of the World War II, not in World War II, the Civil War game.
Civil War. Right? Oh, yeah. Yes, definitely. I also, and Sherlock.
Ultimate General and Sherlock, yeah. I'm interested to hear what you have to say about Sherlock, because you enjoyed the last one.
I really enjoyed it.
Right? Yeah. I think they're really good games. So, Pete, playing anything this week? Planning on playing anything this week?
I mean, I literally just put in Final Fantasy, so I'm letting that install. So,
okay, yeah, so you want that, and
I'm gonna have that. And otherwise, like, nothing's coming out, right? I think at all. I mean, not until like Uncharted, which is in August. So,
yeah, unless you have like a Nintendo system, the next 2 weeks there's not really a whole lot going on.
Yeah, I mean, I might play that Dream Daddies game because everybody's been talking about that. And that sounds hilarious. So yeah, I might do that.
Speaking of Uncharted, Tony, are you going to pick up Uncharted 4?
I have it.
You have it.
Already. Yeah, it was the game that came bundled with my PS4.
Oh, cool. Oh, nice.
Be interested to hear what you have to say about that once you get
one of these days. I'll get into it. Yeah.
My suggestion would be to play it on easy because it's long, that longer than it should be by about two chapters, and it'll just streamline the process for you. because yeah, otherwise you'll get burnt out, and the ending of that game is real good. Like, all they had to do was cut out those last two chapters, and I think, like, everybody would have really dug that game, but I think a lot of people hit a point where they were maybe like, fuck, it's still going.
Yeah, it does get a little Return of the King-ish.
Just when you're like, oh, all right, cool, we're heading to the boat, there's the end, great, and then it's like, nah, man, chapter 25. It's like, wait, what?
Just keeps going.
but I think it's worth it. Like, I really liked how they ended that game and stuff, so.
Yep. Yeah, it has a really good, satisfying ending to those that series of four. So.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Earl is, our friend Earl has been on the show. He is taking some hits at Nintendo as well, so.
Oh, why? Because of their dumbass online service?
Yeah.
I mean, there are some great screenshots of people, like, hooking up their phone to, like, be right next, right on their Switch. Like, people have bought, like, little mounts to put their phone on their Switch so that way they can reach it easily when they do it, and it's just like, guys.
Well, and evidently the eShop, it has crashed.
Is everybody trying to buy Splatoon? Is that what it is?
People are trying to buy. Well, I don't know if everybody, but whoever is trying to buy Splatoon, the eShop is crashed currently.
Oh, no.
So. At least this is what I'm getting from my Twitter feed.
I blame Fozzie.
Yeah, Fozzie, why'd you break Splatoon?
It's okay.
Are you going to be playing Splatoon, Fozzie?
Probably not. No.
No?
Give me Mario. Mario. Come on, Mario.
Yeah, buddy.
3 months. 3 months, and then the game apocalypse happens, led by Mario, so.
You mean right, Total War Warhammer 2?
Yeah, what? August has Uncharted, and then we roll right
led
into
by Madden.
September Madden, right? And then it's like Destiny.
September has a good amount of games, but that one day in October.
Right.
That's rough.
That's like Wolfenstein and Mario and...
There were some other things, too.
I think it was like three really big games releasing on that same day.
Yeah, maybe Assassin's Creed is that same day, too. And
oh, maybe.
And that just seems to be like the crazy day. There's always a day like that in the fall, though. At least one where everybody decides to dump everything all at once, so... All right, well, we will be back next week with that. Evidently a lot of stuff, so. Fozzie?
Yeah.
Say goodnight.
Goodnight.